Lynch in the backfield in a pistol formation. Wide receivers to either side. Russell takes the snap. Drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl in Glendale. What a catch in the end zone. It is cursed.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, how it pays me to listen to that. It really does.
It's got to be tough. And I asked you earlier about the mindset of the guys in the locker room towards Bostic. What's going through his mind right now? I mean, and does he come back to the Packers? If you're a marginal player, this is a guy whose a statement will be made of, right? Like, there's no chance he's coming back.
There's not. I would say he's probably, what, the third tight end behind Rodgers and Corliss?
Yeah.
No, he's not. And not after this. And in some cases, you know, with the two special team gaffes in, you know, the fake field goal for the touchdown, yeah. Sean Slocum's job might be at risk because of this, if you're Mike McCarthy. And of course, they have a bond. He's been there, I believe, since McCarthy's been there. But it's this situation that's enough to get you fired, because Mike McCarthy has been to the playoffs six times out of his eight seasons as a head coach, and this was his best opportunity to get back, I believe. Maybe, of course, since I was there in 2010, and then they were 13-3 the next year, won the NFC and fell short as well. But what's going through his head? He's like a turtle in a shell right now. There's nothing he can say. And it's just, you heard him. I let my team down. And it's just a matter of him doing or not doing his job. And in this case, it was not doing his job. It's tough.
He was not. It is tough. And it's one of those things that when you think about all that goes into a football game, you think about all that goes into preparing for a football game in a whole season, to have it come down to that. Now, granted, did he give up the touchdown? Did he give up the two-point conversion? That two-point conversion was inexcusable.
Yes, it was.
That was allowed with the ball in the air for an hour and a half.
You're right. And that's what, you know, in reading some of the comments by the Packers after the game, Clay Matthews talked about, you know, we go all in, you know, it's a long season to put ourselves in this situation, and to have it come down the way it did is very tough. And then you look at Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Rodgers and their ability to move the football or early in the game and get points on the board. And I thought, very similar to the way Florida State and Oregon, you know, and I keep talking about this, but it's the difference between getting inside the 10 and getting points, meaning 7 points, or just coming away with three. Then you look at that Ohio State-Alabama game and why I was worried early with us getting down inside the 5 twice and only coming away with 2 field goals is very, very tough. And you saw, you know, the Green Bay Packers, their defense, opportunistic defense, giving them opportunities, and they end up with kicking an 18-yard field goal and a 19-yard field goal.
Go for it.
Yes.
Why are you kicking an 18-yard field goal
for
it? Yeah,
you're on the one-yard line. Exactly.
Yeah, it was the half-yard line.
Yeah, exactly. The half-yard line. And
go for it.
And at that point, it's...
You think Tom Brady's not going for that?
Oh, they're going super fast, and they're doing the sneak. I already know what they're doing.
And they're scoring. You know?
And they're scoring, absolutely. And I think...
I understand, though, with Rodgers, probably couldn't sneak with that calf.
Rodgers couldn't sneak with his calf because he's got to push off of it. But then also, too, is I think that Seattle probably got into their bear defense, and the John Kuhn quick hitter, you can't do it twice in a row because you know it's coming.
They do that all the time.
I know they do, but they don't do two consecutively in a row. Usually he's productive on the first, and everybody goes, Kuhn, you know.
Yeah.
But you're right. But I thought that was something that could come back and hurt this football team.
Are you surprised that Aaron, like, I almost feel like Aaron Rodgers should have enough call to say, we're staying on the field, we're running a play.
He does to a certain extent, but him and McCarthy have a very, very good relationship. And I just think that at this point, McCarthy thought getting points because of Seattle and as bad as they were and as good as the defense was playing, that it was enough for them to just come away with three.
And let me ask you this. So you're talking about the special teams coach. When they go for that blocked field goal as opposed to just playing something conservative right there, because there really was no reason to go after that field goal. The guy's probably going to make the field goal.
Yep.
Is the head coach involved in that at all? Saying, hey, let's just play it safe. That's a special teams coordinator
Not on a field goal. The special teams coach makes the call when you rush and when you play safe on a field goal. But the head coach has a say in like going for it on a punt, because you know, as we see, when teams go for it, they miss. There's the running into a kicker, so you have to understand down and distance. And then also, too, there's the roughing aspect. And so you have to take in the game circumstance into what's the score, where are they at, what would 15 do to us, and who's is our defense playing really well, or did we finally just get a stop and then try to go get, you know, get a block? But you know, block punts are kind of like a like an onside kick. You know, they're recovered or blocked at a, you know, 20% rate or, you know, or less.
20%, not even.
Yeah. Not even. Okay.
Probably 2%.
Okay, there you go. Even worse. But I mean, so if you're going to block and again, a certain look has been identified in regards to what they're going to do, and just to go back to the whole hands side of things is, as you prepare for a football game, especially of this magnitude, I promise you the Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks, you know, and we'll talk Colts and Patriots as well in here in a minute, all of them, when it comes to the hands team, because it's something you prepare every single week of the season. You go out there and they probably kick a half a dozen times with the low roller, you know, the high hopper, whatever it might be. And in this case, you kind of knew it was going to be the high hopper because you're on the field turf. You'll see, you know, it doesn't really kick that, you know, kick up that well off of natural grass. But in Green Bay's preparation for Seattle and why Jordy was there ready to, you know, corral it the way he was behind Bostic is you watch. I probably – Sean Slocum and his staff probably broke down every single onside kick by the kicker.
By Hauschka for his career.
Yeah, by Hauschka for his entire career. And what does he like to do? And they probably get out a chart and they chart where does that ball land. And then they hand that out as a printout to the hands team and to Jordy or Randall Cobb or whoever it is in that recovery, and you know, and so you know exactly where to line up based around the percentage that it's going to land in this zone, so you can corral it. So, which and so I mean, and I'm sure it was. He was in the perfect spot. It's just one person not doing their job. And to talk Cleveland Browns football, how many times do we hear from Coach Pettine and Kyle Shanahan and Jim O'Neill talk about we're so close? But it's one block, and, yep. And you watch one the gap, film every gap. Monday.
Yep.
One gap, one block, you know, one this, one that, and it's the difference between a 12-yard run and a no-yard gain, or it's the difference between a touchdown, you know, and an incompletion. And that's the game of football. And the good teams in this league, and not so much in this circumstance because of the onside kick, but the good teams in this league go 11 for 11 more plays than the other team. That's the difference between the Raiders, the Titans, the Jaguars is they have better players and they go and they have guys that are so disciplined that they do their job as a part of that team more frequently than the other team does.
So when you look at this and you were talking about the special teams coach, do you feel that AJ Hawk acted again, didn't do his job, or
yes,
that was on the coach?
That was on him.
And then the other one, the coach had it diagrammed absolutely perfectly. Jordy Nelson was literally right where the ball was going to land. So the coach actually did his job.
100%.
It's individuals not doing their job.
Correct. But to go back to who makes the decisions is Sean Slocum, you know, selects who he wants to be on that hands team. And in some cases, I'm sure McCarthy reviews it very briefly.
What do you think of Mike McCarthy as a head coach?
I love Mike McCarthy as a head coach. I love him. He is down to earth. He is blue collar. He is, you know, he is Northeast Ohio. I know he's from Pittsburgh, but he's the Pittsburgh, Northeast Ohio gritty mentality. And that's the, you know, the type of way they go to work there in Green Bay. And I love him as a head coach. He is, but he lets his coaches coach when it comes to other things other than the play calling, you know. And that's why you see a lot of those guys stay there in Green Bay and succeed because they know they're going to win and they're going to have opportunities to come into their own. Dom Capers could have left. You know, we saw Philbin leave, but a lot of guys love being a Winston Moss has been there forever. He's been assistant head coach forever. But they could have had opportunities to leave, but they stay there in Green Bay because Green Bay is something very special and they love working for that man.
That's what the Packers have. We got Kirk in Lakewood on the phone talking Packers Seahawks. What's up, Kirk?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Yeah, to me, the play that changed that, and I don't know what he was thinking, with 5 minutes to go, this guy intercepts a pass and does a quarterback slide.
That's what we were talking about, Morgan Burnett.
That,
yeah.
To me, you guys are beating up Bostwick, but this guy, Bennett, what was he doing? The only guy around him was 21 on his own team. He could have ran that ball back 20, 25 yards.
Yep, I
and,
agree.
And they could have set up Rodgers for either a touchdown or at least, at worst, three more points. And I watched that. If I would have done that when I was playing junior high and high school football, my coach would have kicked me in the ass.
See, I think it was a case, though, where he was being almost too smart for his own good. The game should have been over at that point.
Yes.
So you just wanted to get it and make sure he didn't give the ball back, like we saw in Dallas. When they did that almost against Detroit, they had the fumble and they tried to run with it. He was just trying to be smart. But in that case, in hindsight, being 20-20, the bottom line is what he did actually was right. If you recover the onside kick, it doesn't even matter.
Correct. And I'll share this story, and I know I've shared it with you maybe off air, but I was with the San Diego Chargers. We were 14-2. We had a first round bye for number one seed in the AFC. We were hosting the New England Patriots, who I believe were won their earlier game. They had to be maybe a fourth seed. Or maybe a third. They came out to San Diego. We were beating their heads in, and we get a late fourth quarter interception like that, probably around the same minute mark, 6 or 7 minutes left. Marlon McCree was a safety. He intercepts it, and he goes to run it back instead of securing the possession. And I believe it was Deion Branch comes up behind him, or maybe Troy Brown, pokes it out from behind it, and they recover. And what do? You give a quarterback like Tom Brady another opportunity, and this time it was in our close to or in about our red zone. They go and get 7 points. So we go from securing a possession and even getting a first down and punting them deep and forcing them to go 90 yards when we've had their number all day to giving them the ball at the 20-yard line. You just can't do that. So in his case, I understand completely both points, and I'm not saying one's better than the other, but in his mind, he thought he was doing right by not giving an opportunity for Seattle to get it back.
Yep. Yes. Yep, and unfortunately, it did not pay off. All right, we've been talking Packers, Seahawks. Happy to get your take on that. One of the most improbable victories I've ever seen. And my goodness, I did want to see Green Bay win. So that certainly was a bummer for yours truly. But it's still unbelievable. I still can't believe that it happened when it's all over. I still cannot believe that they won that game. When we come back, let's go ahead and we'll get into the Patriots' dominant victory over the Indianapolis Colts. Just absolutely destroyed them, dismantled them, out-physicaled them in every way conceivable. That game was not even a game whatsoever. And we'll talk about that when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Now when the sun come up, I'll be there to say what up in the morning. Brush my teeth.